Blog Talk Radio.
Sports fans, diehard football fans from all over the globe, thank you for tuning in for another edition of the Neek and Rude Football Talk Show. I am your host, Neek, my main man, Rudy Rude.
Rudy Rude in the house. Definitely excited to talk about the AFC East today, folks. Talking about what happened last season and kind of giving you an overview of what the teams look to be doing this year, 2019.
Yeah, but this show, to start off this show, there's been a lot of talk about this past week, and I hate watching the media. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do watch NFL Total Access show because I am a football junkie. I do watch First Take on ESPN time to time. I do watch The Skip and Shannon Show, Undisputed. Not bad. But this whole week, there's a lot of news coming out of New York City. To a lot of people on the East Coast, New York City is the football city, the football mecca, the sports mecca. And it's crazy because for the last few years, the Knicks have been the laughing stock of the NBA. The New York Mets have been the laughing stock of baseball. And then this offseason, my Giants, to a lot of media people, they look at us, we're the laughing stock of the football league.
Nick, to who is New York the mecca of sports right now? Like you said, the Knicks are terrible. The Mets are terrible. The Yankees, I mean, I don't know. They're not doing too much right now. They weren't in the World Series last year. Then, of course, the Giants and the Jets. I mean, both of these franchises right now, I mean, if one of them goes 8-8, Nick, I mean, that would be amazing.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that the Giants offseason with Dave Gettleman, don't get me wrong, I'm a diehard Giants fan. It's my favorite team. Second team is the Raiders, Giants and Raiders. Talk to me after the show about how's that possible. Don't worry about it. Those are my teams. Anyway, the crazy thing is this offseason, we got a general manager in Dave Gettleman who actually I didn't know what to expect because I know what he did in Carolina. Got rid of Steve Smith, Josh Norman, blah, blah, blah. Didn't want to pay Steve Smith. Josh Norman didn't want to pay him. Basically, both want to walk away and leave. So, comes New York. We already know what happened. I ain't got to repeat the whole offseason. Got rid of Odell Beckham. I was pissed the hell off. Now, then we take Daniel Jones. Rudy and I talked about it last week. Oh, well, you got rid of Olivia Vernon. But Vernon hasn't really produced like that for us. But anyway, he was our best pass rusher.
Would you say that he got...
He got dropped off! Yeah, he got dropped off! But what I'm saying is Vernon's replaceable. A little long in the tooth. Proverbial tooth, but still productive. He'll probably ball out in Cleveland this year, but the problem with him, can't stay on the field. Got to stay healthy all 16 games. So the Jets popped up in the news a few days ago because Mike McCagnan, the general manager, got fired. And it's reported that Adam Gase, who is the Jets head coach, is now the interim GM. I don't understand how that possible.
Wild eyes.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's possible. So you mean to tell me the general manager went crazy, Brinks money, Brinks trucks, just backed up to Baltimore, bring in C.J. Mosley linebacker, Brinks truck backed up of Le'Veon Bell, brought him on in, spent crazy money this offseason to better this Jets team. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. When you have the money, you got to use it. You got to spend it wisely. But this general manager said, nah, we got some pieces, but we need to bring in a lot of veterans, some overpaid, overpricing veterans he brought in. But the crazy thing is this. There was a little friction between the head coach and the general manager, Adam Gase, Adam Gase reportedly that he didn't feel comfortable with spending all that money on Le'Veon Bell. Now, I understand that. Don't get me wrong, because I don't believe in paying a running back $16, $17 million a year, especially for a running back who took a year off, didn't play last year. So, with that being said, the owner decides to fire this general manager and go ahead and make Adam Gase the general manager. But here's my thing. When you hire a head coach, the general manager or owner, when you hire the head coach, you have to communicate. Rudy, me and you on this show, we communicate all the time because we hosting this show together. But as a general manager and a head coach, you have to communicate. When he did the interview process, did you even think about asking Adam Gase? Say, Adam Gase, so I'm thinking about this offseason for agency. We got to target some areas, some linebacker and running back. So I'm looking at maybe probably bringing Le'Veon Bell. Did this come up in the meeting, in the interview process? If it did, then, this, you know, you guys want to spend the money on Le'Veon Bell. But there's friction. I don't understand the disconnect here, man.
I feel like we could have a whole special show just on these two franchises. Really, with the move, though, I just wanted to point out the fact that I think overall, you know, the GM actually did a good job for the Jets. You look at drafting Darnold. You looked at drafting Jamal Adams the year before. Then, you know, with this past draft with Quinton Williams, I didn't feel like the Jets had any depth in their draft. But, I mean, it has to be just strictly linked back to the fact that, you know, he's paying top dollar for these free agents like Mosley and Le'Veon Bell. Then also the chemistry between Gase and, you know, the GM must have been a problem, and that's kind of what led to his departure.
Yeah, I understand that, Rue, but it's just crazy how you fire, you allow a general manager to go buck wild in free agency, spend all this money. And keep in mind, Adam.
Anything, I mean, you should just fire him at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We both know that.
Well, yeah, should have fired him in the season,
but
now.
That's dysfunction.
That's dysfunction. So, with that being said, I'm going to ask you this, Rudy, because the sports media brought it up a lot this week. They asked that which team, New York team, football team, is a dumpster sale or a dumpster fire sale, or which one has a better future? Now, if you ask me, it's a tough question because now when you look at the New York Jets salary cap moving forward, they can't really do too much. Because they're solid.
Jets are the better team.
Well, yeah, on paper right now, they are the better team. I mean, you know.
They have the clear quarterback for the future. Well, they didn't draft Daniel Jones.
Well, that remains to be seen. Who knows? Jones.
The Jets actually did not draft Daniel Jones. That doesn't remain to be seen. The Jets did not draft Daniel Jones at 6 overall.
Well, what I'm saying is remains to be seen is who will have the better career. Right now, Darnold has a leg up.
Between Darnold
and Daniel Jones. We'll see. I'm just saying, you can walk away from me right now. I mean, you can walk away from me now because a lot of people are talking about, well, the Giants made a mistake passing on Darnold. But here's what I'm saying, Root. If they didn't feel that Darnold was their guy last year, that's why they took Barkley. Now they have their guy in Jones. We'll see.
I'm not going to agree with you at all. I mean, it's probably gonna
So if you ask me, I would put it like this. A lot remains to be seen what's going to happen with Daniel Jones. That's about a three to four year process.
I can tell you already.
I can hear you. A lot of people can predict it. But I'm not going to say let the kid play. I'm not going to do that to
He's
the kid right
play,
now.
Though.
Well, not this year. But I'm saying if Eli stinks it up this year, because Eli does have an offensive line now to block for him. But if he stinks it up big time, Daniel Jones is going to play this year. He definitely will. So
how do we let you monopolize this time with Giants Jets? I mean,
I'm
on.
Just saying, which team does have the better future?
Let me get the football fans of every other team in the NFL caught up on a little news from your team. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, we're not going to touch on too much more in this show. They did sign Shane Ray the other day. Now, Shane Ray was probably the best pass rusher that was still available in free agency. So I actually like this move. If it wasn't the Ravens, I'd be ecstatic about it. You know, like, you got another chance. Now, Shane Ray hasn't had good stats really yet. He had one year where he had, what, like 6-8 sacks, you know, that dealt with suspensions. So we'll see what he can do. He's at this point, he's been considered a bust. You know, he's been considered a little too busty at this point. But we'll see. Michael Floyd, you know, he's had some issues, especially off-field issues. Baltimore Ravens also signed him. So, you know, with some of their young draft picks coming in, we'll see what they can do with that host of wide receivers they got. And then Shane Ray to help replace some of the production, you know, that they lost at linebacker and such for the Ravens. Also, Darren Lee, since we were talking about the Jets, he was traded to the Chiefs for a 6th-round draft pick. The Jets have been shopping him for some months now. So, you know, see somebody finally take him is great. That happened right after the McCogney firing. So that was one of his guys that was a former 1st-round draft pick. Another former early draft pick for the Jets, Geno Smith retired. No, he didn't retire. Actually, that was that was the old Bills quarterback. But
EJ Manuel.
Yeah, but the Seahawks actually signed Geno Smith. Look for him to possibly be a backup there if he can make the team. Then also the Dolphins the other day signed Nate Orchard, the former Utah linebacker who played for the Browns. So we'll see if he can make an impact there in Miami. I think that he's got a good opportunity to play quite a bit, so that's good.
Yeah, that's funny, man. That Geno Smith tour still going on, huh?
I thought he retired. Seriously, I was just joking just now, but I literally thought he retired before I saw that signing to the Seahawks the other day.
Yeah, that Geno Smith tour needs to be should have been retired a long time ago. But yeah, so it leaves New York.
No jersey in the Raptors.
Right? Nah, I'm tight. Leaves New York. It goes to San Diego.
You know,
it went to Los Angeles.
You said some ridiculous stuff earlier. I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna admit something. I thought both Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez were gonna be good early on in their careers. I thought they had potential.
Yeah, like I was saying, I'm just gonna act like I didn't hear that. But like I was saying, the Geno Smith tour, it went up L.A. Now it's going all the way. Now it's going all the way up to Seattle. So we'll see how that plays out.
He won't play, so that'll be good for Seattle.
Nah, anyway. So anyway, fans, tonight's show, we got about 20 minutes left in the show. We're going to just recap last season. What went right for these teams, for the AFC East teams. We're just going to focus on which teams did good, which teams did bad. We'll talk about their records, some of their stats. And Rudy's going to focus on how they can improve what they did this offseason to make them better. So
I'll put it like this. Everybody in the division beside the Patriots has lots of room for improvement.
Oh, golly. It's funny because the Patriots, it seems like every offseason, these teams spend so much money. There's always some type of in-house drama with these AFC East teams besides these Patriots. And they just sitting back just laughing like, well, let's put us down for another division champion again. Seriously, they look at the Jets. I know Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they seen that Jets all on the news. Brady sitting there with his kids on his lap just like, yeah, well, that.
Does it even matter when they don't re-sign free agents and people retire anymore for the Patriots? Because it seemed like they just reload. Whoever is just out there. Like guys like, I mean, they made some great moves. Benjamin Watson's of the NFL come to them and then make an impact. The Dontrell Inmans. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know they're going to just be amazing with Brady again this year, dominate this division.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's just they look back and they see the dysfunction, what's going on with the Jets, and they are just laughing.
Well, can we start off with the Bills? Because the Bills, I mean, I think between the Bills and the Dolphins, I mean, don't they have some kind of chance? I mean, not the Dolphins. The Bills and the Jets, don't they have some kind of a chance to threaten the Patriots this year, Nick?
Well, let's put it like this. Last season, Bills went 6-10, finished. Third in the division. They did draft the future QB, the franchise QB, and Josh Allen. Unfortunately for Josh Allen, he didn't have much help last season.
And he played in 12 games, too, starting.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. He started 11 games. He had to start right away, but he didn't right away because there was a couple horror show directors, which were Nathan Peterman and Derek Anderson. Terrible horror show director.
Nathan Peterman had like one touchdown and seven interceptions.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is the Bills head coach and the general manager said, listen, we got to get a new director in there because that horror show, those directors and Nathan Peterman and Derek Anderson, they got to go. I mean, when they start off the season with those two quarterbacks, they were terrible. But when Josh Allen got in, he finished the season actually pretty strong. The issue with Josh Allen, the sad thing is he had no weapons. He had nobody to throw to. They tried to bring in Kelvin Benjamin. He couldn't separate. He was pretty much terrible. Zay Jones led the team in receiving, 56 catches, 652 yards, 7 TDs. Robert Foster, 27 catches, 541 yards. And then, like I said, Kelvin Benjamin, who's not on the roster no more, 23 catches, 359 yards. And then the crazy thing is this, Root. Josh Allen led this team in rushing. I mean, Josh Allen, when you have LeSean McCoy, now I understand McCoy played 13 games, but he only had 514 yards.
Nick, I mean, that's really not that crazy because Josh Allen actually was a good runner of the ball last year. I think as you see him develop in the league and he gets more weapons, I mean, you won't see those kind of rushing yards. You won't see him leading the team in rushing. Shout out to, some help that the Bills did get in the offseason, and Frank Gore. You know, I love Frank Gore, man. He's been a workhorse his whole career, came to the league with knee injuries, but he's been the definition of durability.
Yeah, and the thing with LeSean's got to be pissed off because I know his agent's probably saying, like, well, LeSean, We know you probably got about a year or two left in Buffalo, but 514 yards last year is not really going to help your case, especially when the franchise QB has more rushing yards than you do. But on defense, there were some bright spots. The rookie linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, actually had a great rookie season, 121 tackles, two picks. Former Browns safety, Jordan Poyer, over 100 tackles, four interceptions. Lorenzo Alexander, 6.5 sacks, and Jerry Hughes, 7 sacks. So you look at this team. Defensively, they have some talent. They have some pieces. This offseason, they addressed the offense side of the ball, the offensive line. They got some help. And at the receiving position, they got some more help.
Well, actually, you know, when you talk about the offseason for the Bills, you first got to start off with drafting that big hog molly up front with some versatility. Ed Oliver, he went number 9 overall from Houston. Really going to help shore up the defensive line. But, you know, the big thing that both of me and you know and we identified is what the Bills lacked last year. And what they kind of needed was they needed some help at the skill position. I mean, a guy like Devin Singletary, you know, he may help with that, the running back out of Atlanta, Florida Atlantic out of the third round. Then you also bring in some more running back help. I mentioned Frank Gore, but then also T.J. Yeldon. Also signed E.J. Gaines, who, you know, was there a few years ago, but was played for the Browns last year sparingly. And then when you mentioned receiver help, Cole Beasley, formerly of the Cowboys, and then also John Brown, former Cardinal and Raven. So, you know, a few of the signings for the Bills. They also signed Kevin Johnson. So really trying to help shore up that secondary, and especially with receiver and running back, trying to take some of that pressure off of Josh Allen and not have to do everything.
Yeah, when you look at these Dolphins, man, Dolphins second in the division last season. The question was, going into the offseason, can Ryan Tannehill stay healthy? He only played 11 games, almost 2,000 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. This offense only averaged barely 20 points a game, which was ranked 26 out of 32 teams in the NFL. Rushing attack, Frank Gore, 722 yards, 0 TDs. Basically, the best running back for this Dolphins offense last season was Kenyon Drake, 535 yards, 4 TDs.
And that's one thing you'll see, man, is like, for example, you mentioned that Frank Gore was the leading rusher in his division, not in the division, for the Dolphins, and, you know, he's going to be playing for the Bills next year. So there's a lot of players that relocated still within the division.
Yep, and at the wide receiver position, I mean, they had some talent, but nobody stepped up and produced. I mean, anytime your running back has 53 catches, 477 receiving yards, 5 TDs, Danny Amendola, 59 catches, 575 yards, pretty much about accurate for Danny Amendola-type season. Kenny Stills, who's supposed to be that big play threat, 6 touchdowns, 37 catches, 553 yards. But on that defensive side of the ball, Kiki Alonso was pretty much, I'm not going to say the MVP of this defense, because the MVP of this defense, who received a huge contract extension, pretty much the highest paid cornerback in the game. Xavier Howard led this team with 7 interceptions, came out of nowhere. I know a lot of fans were like, Xavier Howard, how in the hell is he the highest paid cornerback in the league? Let me tell you, this kid can ball. 7 picks the season before last, he balled out. I mean, this kid is a true young shutdown corner.
Line with you know, talking about the Dolphins. Bottom line is their quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, he's not there anymore. He's playing in Tennessee. He got traded. Their quarterback, he's coaching the Jets, Adam Gase. So the team went 7-9 last year. So, you know, people had to get moved, and, you know, changes had to get made. Bottom line is, you know, when you're average and you continue to be average, people get dropped off. That sometimes that's how it happens. So again, the big move, you know, this team made in offseason again was trading Tannehill. Then also trading for Rosen and also replacing the coach with the former Patriots coach in Flores.
So, Rue, let me ask you this real fast. I know we're about to move on and talk about these Jets. How do you – okay, let's put it like this. So do you see Fitzpatrick starting for this team? A little bit Fitzpatrick magic going about how many games into the season before Rosen takes over?
I mean, he started last year, about 3 before Jameis came back. I know Jameis was suspended, but, I mean, that seems like par for the course. He's a classic bridge quarterback, Josh McCown's younger brother. I mean, I know Josh McCown has a younger brother, but I think Josh McCown would be like, the younger brother I'll never have. You know, and we got Luke, you know. Luke and Owen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's how we feel about years ago on our old show, the Troop by Two Sports, man. I used to always clown those McCown boys.
Hey, man, you got to respect what McCown done in the league, especially Josh. Ivan Drago, I mean.
Yeah.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, but you got to keep in mind, man, we're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's actually played a lot better than Josh McCown. So I don't really see You know, I don't really see Fitzpatrick playing too many games, maybe 3-4 games before that Fitzpatrick magic runs out.
Oh, I wanted to mention one thing about the Dolphins I thought was hilarious after the season, man. And it's not really hilarious. The fact is that, you know, Ricardo Lewis got signed by the Dolphins this offseason. This basically defines the Dolphins season offseason. He got signed on what, about April 8th, I do believe, by the Dolphins, former Brown, drafted in what I believe on the second round, if I'm not mistaken. And then on May 16th, he was placed on IR, probably done for the year.
Because last season, he didn't really play much because he had that neck injury. He's always on IR. Okay.
The Patriots. Hey, let's start. Let's go from getting waived after put on IR after a month to the Patriots.
Well, real quick, before we go to Patriots, I do just want to touch on this. About the Dolphins, they did trade away their best pass rusher, Robert Quinn, went to the Cowboys for a 6-round pick. And then he also released Cameron Wake. So right now, this team has holes on that defensive line. But the Patriots, they don't have many holes at all.
You said the Dolphins are like socks. They got holes.
Yeah, they got plenty of holes. But anyway, let's talk about these Patriots, man. You know, when you look at the Patriots, every year, they're the Super Bowl champs, division champs. They always start off division
champs.
Bill
Belichick and Tom Brady. That's
all you got to say, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But Patriots, fourth in the league in scoring, 27.3 points a game. Brady fishing as always. Actually, it was kind of surprising, though. I mean, I understand, you know, Gronk was hurt a little bit. Josh Gordon, you know, played a little bit of the season. But when you look at Brady's numbers, 4,355 yards, 29 TDs, 11 picks, that's not really Brady-like numbers, you know? Because usually we look at Brady, we're looking at high 4,000s, low 5,000, whatever, something like that.
He's aging.
Yeah, I know. He's aging. He is aging. But the bright spot for this offense, man, every year seems like they're putting out new running backs. The young kid from Georgia, Michelle, had almost 1,000 yards rushing last season, 6 TDs. James White came out of nowhere, 5 TDs. You look at that wide receiver core, James White, 87 catches, Rue. James White? What the heck?
I know he's doing it like that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, James White and Elderman.
I knew he was the incarnation of Kevin Falk, but 87 catches, good Lord.
Yeah, and then you look at my boy Julia Edelman, still fishing as always, 7-4 catches, 850 yards, 6 TDs, and Gronk. But the crazy thing, man, when you look at this receiving core, three of their receivers, man, are actually gone. Gronk decided to retire. You know, he finished the season with 47 catches, 682 yards, 3 TDs. Chris Hogan, always open Hogan, 35 catches, 532 yards. Yeah, well, I ain't going to call him the Hawkster. 3 TDs. Then your boy Gordon still hasn't returned to football yet. 40 catches, 720 yards, 3 TDs.
We ain't going to talk about that. But they're definitely what you mentioned, Nick. You know, I come right in on what the Patriots did to address in the offseason. They never rebuild. They just kind of reload. You know, they just they put the shotgun up in the air, cock it, and, you know, get ready for action. They signed N'Keal Harry. They signed N'Keal Harry out of Arizona State, or, you know, drafted him 32nd overall in the first round. Joquan Williams, I actually love what the Patriots did in the draft. Talk about getting Chase Winovich, getting Damian Harris, and Yannick Juice all in the third round. So they, you know, address some of the positions need there. You're talking about receiver, a guy like Chase Winovich being that versatile player that, you know, the Patriots need. And I love it. I love it. Jamie Collins, a recent signing. So the Patriots, they just keep doing what they want to do. Also, we mentioned earlier in the show, Dontrell Inman getting signed. Also, they signed another receiver, Demaryius Thomas.
All right, real quick, we have a caller. Let's see what we got on the air. Caller, what's going on?
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is Nas. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing, man. I just wanted to weigh in on the Pats, and I guess I missed the other New York teams talk, but I wanted to weigh in on that and get a chance.
Okay. All right, man. Go here.
Oh, I've been waiting on this for a long time, man. The downfall of the evil empire, man. I finally get it. Finally get it. We saw Brady's lost a lot of velocity. A lot of ball placement, the deep ball he can't really do anymore. And the best benefit they have is playing in a horrible division. But, you know, even the genius of Belichick, man, eventually it comes to an end, and I think we're going to see this be the last march for them, and then they're going to reload again. But, yeah, man, for them to pull off what they did last year, they figured out, okay, it's Nas.
Nas. Yeah, I would have to agree with you on one hand. Like, the division overall traditionally has been kind of weak, But, you know, when you talk about the Patriots dynasty possibly coming to an end, it's not going to be this year, my friend. I think, you know, when you start to see, again, Belichick go, Brady go, I think that's when it's kind of going to come to an end, because those have been the two stable forces behind this team's, you know, dynasty. And, you know, other than that, it's plug and play. Defense, talked about Chase Winovich, a guy they brought in, you know, this offseason. They just, you know, a guy like Jamie Collins, he left and went to the Browns. They brought him back. The Patriots just have a factory of success. And, you know, it doesn't matter who leaves. It's rare that a guy like it comes back, in the case of Jamie Collins. But when they do have a weakness, they address it. Like we were talking about receiver, Dontrell Inman, Demaryius Thomas. Did you know they signed Demaryius Thomas?
This ain't Bay Bay from a few years ago. And
that's true, though. Demaryius Thomas
is
coming off an injury from last season. You got a good point.
Hold on real quick. He can't push the ball down the field. Like, that's not something that you can scheme your way out of. And that's why he goes to Edelman so much, you know, on the hashes.
You're exactly right.
Because that's the guy that can get open. You lose an all-time great tight end, who I consider the best tight end ever. Like, that's not a small thing. And Gronk last year was limited by the injuries. This wasn't
Gronk. You're absolutely right.
Know,
do you think Benjamin Watson can replace half that production that they have from Gronk on an annual basis?
No, because it's not the same thing. Like, you don't have to pay the same amount of attention to him.
That's
treat him like, okay, middle of the field, we have to focus on Gronk. And that's been
the Patriots' last decade.
Hey,
my friend Nas,
I
think that the Patriots are going to find a way. I think that, you know, some of your comments were spot on as well. I mean, you know, nothing lasts forever. But this team, you know, about 5 years ago, I probably would have counted them out and said they wouldn't be in any more Super Bowls. But here we are. I just one of those people that respect
greatness. Let me put some money in your pocket real quick. Here's the crazy, ridiculous, high odds.
We only got a few more seconds, Nas. But you mentioned money in my pocket. I'm listening. I give you 10 seconds.
Go with the Buffalo Bills and fake Cam Newton, who is Josh Allen, and they're going to win more games than people expect, possibly contend for a playoff berth. But the odds are in your favor. Bet on it right now, because you get good odds and put money in your pocket. I'm telling you right now.
All right, Nas, appreciate the call, man. Hey, take that to the bank. That's some good football knowledge there. We'll talk to you soon. Call back again, my friend, okay?
Yep.
All right, take care.
Yeah, big up to Nas, man. I love Nas. I respect Nas, man. I think he's calling out the ATL.
Hey, but really, you know, we talked about the Buffalo Bills there. We talked about the Patriots. We're going to finish this show today off with the Jets. So we've already talked about the Jets a lot. Mike McCann, you know, we talked about Le'Veon Bell signing. Nick's kind of going to tell you what happened last year with the Jets. And also we mentioned C.J. Mosley getting signed. But as far as last year, the Jets went 4-12.
Yeah, the Jets went 4-12, man. And you know, they averaged 20 points a game, which is 23rd out of 32 teams in NFL ranked offensively. Sam Darnold, franchise
like
QB.
Allen, yeah. Jets found last year, and that's what their last season was all about. Baker Mayfield almost kind of gave the deception to some people that, like, Sam Darnold and Josh Allen didn't have great seasons in their rookie season. People are going to struggle in their rookie year. Both of these players look good and showed a lot of promise.
Yeah, they did. But one of the bright spots I want to touch on is the tight end, Chris Herndon. I know all about Chris Herndon because he played at the U. I'm a diehard U fan. Rudy and I are also Michigan fans. Diehard U. This kid has a lot of talent, 39 catches, 502 yards, 4 touchdowns. But the thing that surprised me on the defense side of the ball, that defensive line. There's a lot of talent at defensive line, but my boy Leonard Williams only had 5 sacks. I understand, you know, D-tackle more against the run. But Jordan Jenkins, Henry Anderson both had 7 sacks apiece. Darren Lee had 3 INTs. Tremaine Johnson played like butt cheeks to start off the season. Got all that money, only had 4 INTs, turned it around second half of the season. I understand he was hurt. But Jamal Adams is the bright spot for this defense, along with Avery Williamson. Rudy Rue, we already know, Jets in the draft, they addressed that on that defense line with Quinton Williams. So that Quinton Williams show, along with Leonard Williams, the William boy, should be balling that defensive line.
Don't forget about Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida. The thing about the Jets, though, like I said, talk about McCagney getting dropped off as the GM. And we don't often talk about GM get dropped out. You know, it's the thing, you know, it wasn't a lot of moves for the Jets. I mean, there was the big moves and the Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Mosley, big contracts. But really, did they address their position need? Did they get enough to address the skill position need? Yes or no?
No, they didn't, because you're not sold on the wide receiver tandem of Robbie Anderson.
They re-signed Robbie Anderson, but they also went out and got they re-signed Ty Montgomery.
Yeah. So on that note, fans, hope you enjoyed the show. Next week we'll talk about the
good
AFC
talking North. To y'all. Y'all take care. Peace and love.
All right. See you next week.